For those of you who knew I was coming and still came, thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate the opportunity to come back home and to speak to you the word of the Lord. Well, Christmas is over. New things are in the horizon. But this is a time we think of this past year, of what took place in our lives and how, for the good and the bad, sometimes as we reflect upon the year that we have been in, there's some life that takes place that we would have just as soon wouldn't have happened, but it did. And God led us and led us through the circumstances of life to be where we are at today. As we look into the future, one of the things I think we need to reflect upon was how the past reflected us in our spiritual life and how it moved us forward into knowing God a little bit better in our lives than when we started in the year of 2018. So I want to reflect upon that just a little bit today. Jackie and I just had our family Christmas, as I know some of you did yesterday, to give our families a chance to be in their own homes on Christmas. And we were reminded again what it was like to have young kids around and really what it's like when they go home. Peace and quiet again. And we're not used to that sometimes during the year, but to have them all together. But it was a pleasure to be reminded of what Christmas was like at home when our kids was growing up. The fun, the laughter, the little orderliness and all of those things that combine for Christmas. And it is my wish that as you celebrated Christmas this year, it wasn't just a party, but it was a reflection upon a holy day that God gave his precious gift to each and every one of you. His love and his son is why we're here today, isn't that? Eternal life that he gave to us if we believe on him as our Lord and Savior. But for many of us, as we look into the new year, we hit the reset button. We start over on habits that are really important to us, like reading the Bible every day, attending church weekly, or maybe sometimes more than that during the church, having maybe even more date nights with our spouse. How many of you have date nights with your spouse? Well, not too many, but you better start. Just because you're married doesn't mean you can't date, right? You need to do that to keep relationships going really well. But then at this time of year, we make a list of the things that we would like to accomplish in the new year, knowing full well that most of them will never get done. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? You know what an oxymoron is? It's diet ice cream. Yeah. It is also politically correct is another one. I don't know anything is politically correct. Or the top American oxymoron is this. This is just a temporary tax increase. We know that that's not true, don't we? Well, I don't know what that really has to do with our message this morning, but what I really want to talk about today is individual growth and grace, God's grace, working together to help us in our walk with the Lord as we live this life here on earth. In looking at growth and looking at grace, there are some things that I think that growth is in our lives and in the lives of the church and what it isn't as we think about how God grows us through his mighty grace. First of all, I would like to say that growth is not about how many. It's not about how many meetings you attend at church every week or every month. It's not about how many verses that you memorize in the Bible. It's not about how many minutes you spend in devotion time every morning. It's not about how many Christian books you have read this past year. It's not about how many, but all of these things really are important in our walk with the Lord every day. There's a lot of times I think that we make the mistake of thinking that just because I'm involving myself in what may be a growth-producing activity, what may be something that results in growth sometimes, that I'm automatically going to be growing. There's many people, I believe, have thought through the years that if they just attended church more, that somehow they would automatically grow. It really doesn't work that way. Let me give you an example. Just say that I decided that I wanted to become a more healthy person physically. So I decide to start to work out. Any of you decided that in your lives? So what I do is I go to Sculptures over at Monticello, and I bring my lawn chair with me, and I sit right in the middle of the health club. And I say to myself, as I watch everybody else exercise, man, don't they look great? So after about an hour or so of watching those people exercise, I get up, take my lawn chair, and I go to the car. And I feel so good about what I've done that I stop on the way home and have a couple of donuts. I really felt good about watching those people exercise. So you see, just doing things doesn't necessarily mean that I'm growing. It's not about how many in our lives. So what is it about? Well, growth is about how much we learn. How much we put God into our lives every day. How much do we let Him put His grace within us to move forward in our own lives? It's the quality of life that we live through Christ. It's how much closer I am to God now than I was last year at the same time. It's how much more I love my wife and my kids because of God's grace. It's how much my character is being changed by God's power. It's not a matter of quantity. It's a matter of quality that we put into our lives. Jesus didn't say, I came to give you more things to do in your life. He said, I came to give you an abundant life, a new quality of life. You see, God didn't give us His grace just as a gift to get us started. He gave us His grace as a gift to keep us going in life, every day, every moment. So God's purpose in our lives is to help us to change. Now, I know that's not a word that we like in church, change, because that makes us think like we have to do something different. You know those famous words of the church, we've never done it that way before, and we're never going to do it again? It's famous words that we have because we like what we did in the past. We forget that we're not living back in the 40s again. Some of you have never seen those words. But there's a couple of us here who remember the 40s, right? Yeah. We didn't have these, did we? We had the little phones on the wall where you could ring them up. Or be at a party line with about six other people who listened in to everything you said. That's one thing about these. Unless you put it on Facebook, nobody knows what you're talking about. But it's a change. It's something different. I like to call it transition. It's a word that we're more comfortable with in a church instead of change, right? We don't like to do that. But it's the same way with our own lives. We get into this pattern of what we've always done and how we've always done it, and we like for it to be the same routine. Because to get out of that routine makes us think we have to do something different in our lives. And quite honestly, we're people of the same routine most of the time. If you don't think that, just put down on paper what you do every day. The time you get up, the time you eat breakfast, and go to work, come back home. For us, it's who gets to the recliner first. But it all works together in what we do. There is a process of growth that God, I think, wants to work in our lives. And I know some people have been Christians a long time but really haven't grown much. But there's others who have been Christians a short time and seen amazing growth in their lives. So what happens? Well, there's a process of change in our lives and a process of growth that God has for every one of us in our lives that can drastically increase the rate of change in our personal lives. So if you're thinking that you know what that process is, that you just need to try a little harder, and if you just tried a little harder, you could get this thing down right. Well, I got some good news for you this morning. It's not a matter of us trying harder. That produces a lot of guilt in our lives. It's not a matter of me just trying a little harder. It's God has a process and all of that. And it all begins by His wonderful grace that He's given to us, a gift that has come our way through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master. So we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior every day if we follow Him the best way that we know how to do, to follow Him. So here's the process, and one of the places that is written for us in the Bible. And that's Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. If you have your Bibles with you or your phones are still on, you can get that on the phone as well. But listen to what it says to you. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. So what does that say? When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the old has to go. The new is coming. It says, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Attitude in the mind. Of who we are and what we are, and getting rid of the old stuff that takes us away from the glory of God and trying to do and follow in the steps of Jesus. So what this scripture is actually saying to us is you put off the old. The old is what used to be. And we think about that in a church level as well. And sometimes we have to put off the old. We never compromise the word of the Lord, but we put off the old so that we can better reach people for Jesus Christ. It's not what I want. It's what God wants through us in reaching the Lord. So the old in my life without Jesus. And everything that had to do with that needs to go. So I'd like to focus this morning particularly on the old ways of trying to grow, old ways of trying to make ourselves better, and focus on a couple of them that didn't work according to what Jesus had to teach us about real, genuine, personal growth. And number one is trying to grow by doing good. Now, our thoughts are, man, if I could just do enough good things, I'm going to grow. Jesus gave his disciples then, and to you and me today, as his disciples, a great picture of why this doesn't work. He talked about the wine and the wineskins in Matthew 9, 17. He says this, he says, neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So, since most of us don't have wineskins hanging in our backyards, we need to talk about this for just a little bit this morning. So what's he talking about here, really? And I just want to play a hint. There's a lot of glare on the clock up there, so I have no idea when I'm going to get done.
Want me to give you an update?
No, that's all right. I do have a watch, but I don't want to look at it. I just want to get done in time for you to go to the restroom before Faith Covenant gets there, okay? So what's he talking about? He said, in that day, we don't remember, but we read about what they did back in the scripture time, they would pour the new wine into a leather wineskin, and then as the wine fermented, it would expand, and the wineskin would expand with it. Outside, when it was outside in the sun would beat down on it, and the wineskin would harden. And then they'd pour the wine out. But if you took new wine then and poured it back into that old hardened wineskin, it would burst when it began to expand. So what Jesus was saying is this. Sometimes it looks like it would fit. In the beginning, it does. But there's no room for growth. There's no room for expansion. So sometimes it looks if I could just do enough good things, I'm going to grow. And that'll work for a little bit, but then there's no room for real, genuine growth in that. There's no room for becoming all that God wants me to be. And I can't grow by just doing more and more good things. It's the same way with the church. You could do a lot of things inside the church to make it, you know, a lot of wonderful ministries go on inside the church. But if all you do is focus inside the church, you will never grow to where God wants you to be unless you focus upon those outside. So it's not everything in here. It's what goes on outside and the focus that you have there that will make growth come. The second thing is that we don't grow by keeping rules. How many of you like to keep rules? How many of you have disobeyed rules? I know you have. I've got to see you. I didn't mention your name, though. That was good. But it doesn't happen just by obeying rules. There's a time for rules. When your children are little, they need some rules, right? We found that out yesterday with all the young kids that we had around. There's rules that need to be followed. But when they grow up, when they become 12, 13, 14, they need a little bit more freedom and a little bit less rules. And then when they get to 18, they need a little bit more freedom as well. you understand that. All of you were terrible teens at one time who thought that you needed your freedom. And mom and dad wasn't too bright. But fortunately, you grew up and they got smarter. Hopefully. That's kind of the way that works. But if you treated your children all the way through their growing up lives as a three-year-old, what would happen? They would not be ready to face the world, right? So rules change. The more freedom you give somebody, the less rules. The more they grow. Also, the more times they can make a few mistakes. But that's part of growing up, isn't it? If we never make a mistake, we never learn anything. The biggest failure is not doing anything. That's the biggest one that we have to go. Rules cannot produce growth. They control things and they control people. So what's the place of rules in the Bible? Well, you might look at it this way. Think of grace as the jets that power the engines. And the Ten Commandments sort of give us the flight plan ideas, some direction. But the power doesn't come through the rules. It comes through the grace and power of God, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what God is saying to each and every one of us, I've got a new way of life for you to live. And I've got new things for you to do. It's not through rules, but it's through my grace that I give to you. 1 or 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Jesus, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. This is a promise for those who are in Jesus Christ, for those who have trusted their lives to Jesus and his leadership. It's a promise to those who've said, Jesus, I want you to be a part of my life. And that's the incredible promise that God has given to us. It's not a set of rules. It's not a bunch of meetings that we have to go to. The promise of the Christian life is that the old has gone and the new has come into our lives. You see, when it comes to your security, your salvation, and your new life that God has given you, the keys are on the inside, in Jesus, and in God. You're not the one that holds the key. God is. And he's holding on to the key, and he's never going to give up on you. Never. And that's the security of this new life that God has given to us. There's one thing that we have to do, and we have to put on this new life. And there is a decision that we have to make, that we are allowed to make every day of our lives about this new life that God wants to give us. And we have to put on the new life every day. God is saying, you got this old way of living that you used to do, of talking with people with kind of a bad attitude. I want you to take that off. I want you to do away with it. Because my grace will teach you something better. I've got a new way for you to talk with those people, and that's with love and encouragement. You put that on. So, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. If you could look any way that you wanted to look on the outside, like anyone that you wanted to look like, say maybe a movie star, sports star, anybody in the world, who would you choose? Go ahead and dream just a little bit. Why would you choose that person? When God has loved you so much to make you just like you are. You are God's gift. He gave His Son for you. Why would you want to look like somebody else? Even though Dan and I resemble one another. Yeah, I couldn't do the mustache thing, so that's okay. Still, let me ask you another question. If you could look like anyone you wanted to look like on the inside, anybody, who would you choose? I would hope that you would choose Jesus, because that's who we would like to look like on the inside, and have Him be the example in our lives so we could show that example to other people. And I think we're talking about God's promise here. I want you to look like me on the inside. I want to give you my character. I want you to look like Jesus on the inside. Do you remember He said when He left, "You will do greater things than I have done"? I don't know if the disciples of that day believed that, and I don't know whether we as disciples believe that today. But if we really have Jesus on the inside, that's our attitude and how we treat people and what we do. And it's not all about me, it's all about Jesus and what He wants us to be. The way Jesus dealt with relationships becomes more and more the way we deal with relationships. And the way that Jesus handles His time becomes more and more like the way that we handle our time. Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into the person by changing the way that you think." Changing the way that we think is a little different, but that is a renewing of our mind. And we start to think like God thinks, and life in a new way. Because He is the one who empowers us with the grace to do that. But you know, it takes time to grow. Every one of us here are in a growth pattern. Sometimes it seems like we grow way too fast, and sometimes we don't grow fast enough, and sometimes it's just really a slow process. We grow day by day because that's how we live and we grow. But growth is a process that moves towards eternity. You see, when God changes your character, it's not just for a month or a year, it's for eternal life for you. And because growth is a process that points toward eternity, it takes some time, but the time is worth it all. The changes are happening in our lives are eternal changes. They're going to affect and impact eternity, and that's why it takes so long. God has a long-term plan in mind for your life. And you might think of it this way. When it comes to renewing your mind and starting to trust God in a new way of growth, it's as if God wants to do a great remodeling project in our brains, in the way that we think about Him and the way that we grow. And it's tough when you remodel a house. Isn't it, Mike? It can be. It could be really tough sometimes. If you ever remodeled a house, you know what I'm talking about. There's always more than meets the eye. Once you get started, new things pop up that need to be done. A lot of behind-the-scenes things that you didn't see at the beginning of the project. And the same thing, I believe, is true with God in our lives. He comes into our lives and we say, God, I have this part of my life here, this wall that I need you to patch up for me. And if you could just do that, God, then I'll be really fine and happy. But God says, no, I got bigger plans for you than that. I want to get to the basics. I want to get to the wiring. That's where I want to get to. But to get to the wiring, what do you have to do? You have to tear all the stuff off the wall to get to the wiring. And it gets discouraging. It actually starts to look worse before it starts to look better. But God, I just wanted you to do this little thing in my life, and it seems like there's a whole lot more going on here. Well, why is he doing that? Why does he want to get to the wiring? Because he wants to change the power source of our lives. He wants to give us more power than we could ever imagine that we had. Why does he want to get to the wiring? Because he sees the danger that's there, that someday something is going to blow up in our face. He wants to get to it and change us now. So God tears away at the walls and he gets to the wiring and then he puts the walls back up. And that's God's remodeling project for our lives. And he's not going to give up. Now, before I read the verses from Ephesians again, I want to give you a little homework. You just love to do that, right? So here's what I want you to do. Instead of going home and saying, well, man, that was a halfway decent sermon. I'm going to try some of that at home. What I want you to do is to take one area of your life that you can apply the growth process to. See, when you remodel a house, it's best to do one room at a time. Choose just one area of your life. Maybe it's the way you talk to your kids. Maybe it's the way that you think about your finances. Maybe it's the way that you do business. Just choose one area. And that's the area to ask God to help you put off the old and put on the new in this coming week. So listen again to our scripture lesson this morning, only this time I'm going to be reading it out of the Message Bible. A paraphrase, but I really like the way it's paraphrased. It says this: everything I do, and I do mean everything, connected with the old way of life, has to go. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Friends, that's what the Christian life is all about. God reproducing his character in us. That is growth. Not only in our individual lives, but in the life of the church. As we close today, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Is there a way in your life that you're still holding on to the old part simply because It feels okay. You feel comfortable with it. But God is really saying to you, I really want you to get rid of that. I really want you to start thinking with Jesus inside. What would Jesus do in your life? How would he affect you? As this final song is sung today, the altar is always open, or you could pray at your seat. But let God enter your heart in a new way today, and let him speak to you about your individual growth with him. Are you closer today than you were at the start of this year? Are you looking forward to being closer to him in this next year? You see, to God, the years really don't mean that much. To us, it does. We put off the old and put on the new. But that's what he wants you and me to do, to put off the old and put on the new. Christ, our Lord. He's given it to you. All we have to do is to receive it. Bless you.